Hey, we're going to call this committee meeting to order. Quorum is present. This is the March 10th meeting, 2014, of the Transportation and Public Safety Committee. We have four bills on the agenda, and we're going to start with Senate File 1917, Senator Wicklund. Members, this is the large bill in your packet. We're only going to deal with a couple of sections, though, that pertain to this committee. Welcome to the committee, Senator
Thank
Wicklund.
You. Thank you, Chair Dibble. Yes, this this bill, Senate File 1917, it came out of the Legislative Commission on Planning and Fiscal Policy process. It has some modifications of executive branch advisory groups, but the provisions that relate to transportation are not really part of that that article. In Article 1, there's a modification of some of the sections dealing with advisory committees. And in Section 7, there's a section and subdivision that's repealed. And so due to that repeal, in Article 2, there are conforming changes made to sections that cite the statutes that are repealed in Article 1. So that's where the transportation references come in. There's a county screening board, Section 22. There's a municipal screening board, Section 23. Advisory committee created to recommend expenditures from the trunk highway corridor projects account, Section 24. And the capital area security advisory committee, Section 36. So those four had language referencing the statute that was repealed. And so this just makes the strikes that language so that it conforms.
Thanks. And can you just tell us quickly, if you don't mind, why the LCPFP thought these particular entities should be repealed?
They're not actually repealed. They're continuing.
Uh-huh.
It allows them to continue.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just totally misheard.
Yeah, it allows the status quo to continue and the groups to continue their work.
Okay, all right.
So
all right.
The parts that have to do with transportation are not repealed.
Just totally heard the opposite. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So we're continuing these and letting them continue to operate and doing some conforming language. Fairly straightforward. Questions, members? No. We have a motion. Senator Kent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the adoption of Senate File 1917 be recommended and referred. Is it?
To state and local.
State and local.
All right. Any questions on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Wicklund.
Thank you.
All right. I do not see Senator Carlson, so we'll jump to Senator Bach, who is here. Senate File 2103. Welcome to the committee, Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. As a result of the most recent redistricting plan, I had the distinct privilege of having Coochichan County and the city of International Falls, the icebox of the nation, included in my district. And one of the things that International Falls is known for is the fact that we do a lot of cold weather testing up there on automobiles. And there are special provisions in law relative to vehicle registration on those manufactured-owned vehicles that are used in International Falls. And I believe we have a pretty good amount of cold weather-type testing that goes on in Bemidji also. And so what we're proposing, the law is pretty specific. It says specialized cold weather testing. We'd like a change in the law to delete those words and put the word environmental testing in rather than cold weather. And I have somebody here to testify from International Falls that works with the program that can better explain than I can why we're asking for the change.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Paul Nevinen. I'm the executive director of the Kuching Economic Development Authority, and one of my tasks is also to manage the test facilities that we have at the International Falls Airport. And, Mr. Chairman, maybe I should start by apologizing for this talking about cold weather after this tough winter and the beautiful weather we've got outside. It was good for business, but it was difficult. As Senator Bach referenced, we've used our notoriety as the icebox of the nation to really build a thriving industry around cold weather testing. Last season, we had 13 manufacturers from around the world testing in our area, injecting over $1 million into the economy. I'm here as a result of one of our customers' request. The iconic British automaker Jaguar Land Rover, who several years ago approached us about returning to the U.S. to consolidate their testing from Canada to International Falls. It was a big commitment for our community. We invested, along with the county, in a deed grant to build a cold box for Jaguar Land Rover as part of a 5-year lease agreement, which is unheard of in the test industry. But as they expand into North American testing, they have test facilities in Denver and also in the Phoenix area, and they cycle vehicles throughout those three locations. So to better describe their activity here in North America, they wanted the flexibility. We're requesting the flexibility of being able to test in all seasons, but International Falls would be their base. They fly vehicles into the eastern U.S., transport them to International Falls, conduct their testing here, and then move on to their other locations. There was an incident last year. One of these vehicles was pulled over, and it was 85 degrees, and they referenced this statute, and it caused a lot of confusion and consternation for our customers. So at their request, we're asking for this language modification.
All right. Thank you. Questions, members? So, members, this is not the beginning of the breaking down of the typical response this chair has towards license plates bills. This is a different matter altogether. Great. No questions? Would anyone else like to testify on this bill? Great. Members, do we have a motion? Senator Peterson moves that Senate File 2103 be recommended to pass and sent to the floor.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Bach, might this be a candidate for the consent calendar?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wieger, I wasn't going to mention that. I'm not sure that I've ever had a bill on the consent calendar. And it seems to me I remember when Senator Johnson, when he was the leader one time, had one on there, and it ended up to be quite a ruckus on the floor. But if I have the support of the committee for that, I do think this potentially could be a candidate for that. It might be less likely to attract amendments if that was the case, but I certainly wouldn't want to propose that if the committee was uncomfortable with it.
Right. Senator Peterson, would you like to amend your motion?
Well, Senator Dibble, I'm not in charge of the ruckus part that goes on there, but from my perspective, I would not have a problem with that. But I would certainly welcome any other members. If they think that is going to be a problem, now's the time to say so. So.
Right. Any objections to placing this on the consent calendar? Hearing none, that will be the motion. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Senator Buck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Oh, Senator Carlson, we'll revert to your item, Senate File 2082. I promise I'll listen more closely. Welcome to the committee, Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I have Senate File 2082 to present. This bill does two things. It repeals the advisory committees on rulemaking for the county state aid highways and municipal state aid streets. These committees currently exist in two places in statute and appear to be two separate committees. However, they've always met as one committee, and the bill forms a combined committee in Section 1 to reflect that reality. Membership requirements and powers do not change, except that it removes the requirement for the rules to be printed and forward to the city and county officials and engineers. This has been done electronically, but now MnDOT can confirm. And also it repeals the commuter rail corridor coordinating committee, because according to testimony, MnDOT feels that there's no need to have the committee continue since there's no commuter rail corridor currently under development. And I stand for any questions. I have all right. Mr. Redeen from the agency here to answer any detailed questions.
Great. Thank you. Questions, members? Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Carlson, just curious about the commuter rail corridor coordinating committee being repealed or abolished. I know at this point we can't talk about a certain commuter rail project, but if we could...
Don't, this, because I'm going to have to ask the sergeant to remove you from the room if you say that word.
This would even make it even harder to even conceive that particular corridor from ever existing.
I hope you don't have the word in your mind either. That's
illegal. I'm trying not to. Yeah. So this would even make it harder to think about future commuter rail corridors.
Senator Carlson, yeah, this has come up in discussion in my office. You might have heard it, being in the same suite. Do we know why specifically the commuter rail corridor coordinating committee is being repealed, or someone from the agency ready to respond to that question?
Yes, I think Mr. Redeen has an acceptable answer for you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr.
Welcome
Chair.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I'm Eric Redeen, MnDOT Government Affairs. And this committee was formed to help the commissioner decide the route for the North Star commuter rail line. And really the job of that committee is specific to that purpose. In the alternatives analysis phase, there are, you know, up to several routes identified. And then it goes through a process to try to select the best route for the project. And so that committee met and did their work and advised the commissioner as to the best route for North Star commuter rail. And so their work was completed. Now, if this language remained in statute, it could be used for a future commuter rail corridor, but there is no commuter rail project that's currently at the alternatives analysis phase. And so rather than leave this in statute, I think the Legislative Commission on Planning and Fiscal Policy felt that it could be repealed at this time. If a future corridor gets to the point where we're at an alternatives analysis, then we would want another similar committee to be established. You know, whether that would need to be in statute or not, I think, is another question. It's probably something that the commissioner would have the authority to establish at his discretion. It wouldn't necessarily have to be in the statute.
So, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Redeen, so I think this is more of a unsession bill then?
Okay. Mr. Chair and Senator Franzen, yes, I think that's a fair characterization.
Just to clarify. All thank
right.
you.
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a similar question about this in the nature of projects like commuter rail. They don't come up every day. And when they do, there needs to be a mechanism by which to evaluate them. And one example that has happened in my district with the Gateway Corridor, because at the time they were going through their alternatives analysis, statute required them to consider rail. They had to keep light rail on the table and in the conversation, even though numerically they'd already basically outruled it out. So I guess I'm just sensitive to this notion that we have things happening in statute and then there are unintended consequences mm-hmm. in terms of the flexibility that it gives people for planning. Mm-hmm. And if somebody were to want to plan more commuter rail, by whatever name, are we making that not an option now? So that's my concern and question about this.
Mr. Rudin.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kent, no, by repealing this language, you're not taking that option away. In fact, if you're intending to use federal funds on a project, there's a very detailed process that you have to go to consider all of those alternatives. And, you know, one of the options is a no build, to do nothing. You know, as you mentioned, light rail or bus or commuter rail, you have to look at the whole universe of options and then try to pick the option that is most suited, excuse me, to that corridor. And so that process would definitely continue even if this language is repealed.
All right. Further questions, members? Any amendments, oral or otherwise? Senator Franzen.
I move to, it was an amended, so to approve the bill and move it to the floor.
All right.
No?
Oh, I'm sorry. Refer it to state and local government.
Then refer it to state and local.
Okay. All right. Any questions on the – oh, would anyone else like to testify on this? I keep forgetting to do that. Nope. Seeing none. On the Franzen motion, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Carlson. All right. Our chief officers of our next two bills are being summoned. But we're going to take up Senate File 2179 next for Senator Westrum. Here he's in the vicinity. So, members, you're probably aware that these are different flavor of this, or different take on the same issue, slightly different flavors. So we thought we would take them both up sequentially for consideration and discussion. Move both along, or one along, or neither along, whatever the committee so desires. Welcome, Senator Westrum.
Chair.
Senate File 2179. Proceed as you so desire.
Mr. Chair, this legislation is a pre-trial traffic diversion program that would be allowed by our counties, and it would clarify statute to allow counties to implement their own driver awareness or pre-trial diversion program if they chose. Several counties have been doing this, including at least one of my counties that has talked to me about this and asked to bring clarification on this legislation forward. I know Senator Schmidt has a very similar bill that we'll be hearing next. And so I bring this for the purpose of clarifying this for local counties that choose to implement this program. What they will do, what the counties will do, maybe I'll back up a little bit of the history. If any of you haven't followed, this issue was challenged in court, and the last I understand, the courts struck down the county's ability to do this based on it wasn't clear in the statute or that wasn't permitted the way the courts interpreted it. Yet it had been going on for quite some time in 16 counties is the last number I recall that we're doing this. What it does is it allows the officers, right now they have a choice of a warning in letting a driver off completely that would have been speeding or something like that, or give them a full ticket. And this is a kind of in the middle where the ticket, the citation, they can choose to go to this driver's refresher course and pay a course fee, and the charge in total needs to be not to exceed $100. And in many cases, it's less than that right now. So it's less than a speeding ticket, but it is more than a warning. But it's also an opportunity for the local law enforcement to have a refresher training courses for those that have violated the speeding laws or stop sign laws or vehicle, if there's a mechanical issue with the vehicle, those are the three citations that would be eligible for this. And only those that haven't had two or more citations in a year can go to this course, and it would only be for violations up to 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. If the officer feels that it's warranted, they can issue this ticket that's sanctioned by the local counties. And so with that, Mr. Chair, members, that's kind of a recap, and I think somebody from the County Sheriff's Association might be here and may want to offer some supporting testimony or answer some questions.
Thank you, Senator Westrom, and members, just towards the back of your packet, in case you didn't see it, there's a executive summary and the introductory paragraphs from the state auditor's report that raised some policy questions around these diversion programs is included, and then there's a Star Tribune account of the court case that put a stop to the diversion programs. So I think both of these bills are attempting to address some of the auditor's concerns, as well as the overcome or address the issues court case that finds that they can't proceed under current law. So read those at your convenience. Senator Westrom, you said you had a witness to testify from the Sheriff's Association.
Well, Mr. Chair, I believe I understand they're here. I have not been able to talk to them today. I talked to Senator Schmidt, and he had indicated they would
be here. I see Mr. Franklin. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members, Jim Franklin. I'm the executive director with the Minnesota Sheriff's Association. Just very briefly, to this particular bill, we've been trying to work with Senator Schmidt and Senator Westrom on these bills. This has been an ongoing issue and problem since 2009, and I don't know exactly how deep in the weeds you want me to get on this, but just simply put, we do support clarification on this issue. It has to do with the surcharge issue, and we do want the legislature to clarify this for us, because we do have a disagreement with the current system that's in place currently in the auditor's report. And again, without getting in too deep into the weeds, we're looking for clarification. So with that, I'll just cease and desist my comments and wait perhaps with Senator Schmidt, and we might get a little bit more into that bill that he has that we put a little bit more time into.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Franklin. Questions, members of either Mr. Franklin or Senator Westrom? Senator Franz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Westrom, without hearing the next bill, what's the main difference that you can point out to between your bill and the one that we'll be hearing shortly?
Senator Franson, there's not a lot of difference. Actually, one difference that I think exists, and council can actually correct me. I haven't fully read Senator Schmidt's bill yet, but in talking to him and just browsing it briefly, he would be more limiting with the proceeds that are collected under the diversion program. So it primarily has to go to training and classroom. It couldn't go to enhancing any squad car technology or things like that. That's one difference that I know. Mr. Franklin might know if there's any others. Or counsel.
Mr. Franklin.
Mr. Chairman and Senator, in the discussions that we've had with Senator Schmidt, we have suggested a $75 cap as opposed to the $100 cap. Senator is correct. We suggested that 50% go back to the local unit of government, general treasury, 50% be used for educational purposes and other public safety-related purposes in the community. It could be erecting signs. It could be doing some other kinds of safety work that might have broader, but not buying squad cars and equipment and things of that nature. And then I think we limited the some of the violations that this could be applied to. In the bill that we talked with Senator Schmidt on, the National NHTSA, the National Institute of Safety, Traffic Safety, has a pilot project going right now in several communities in the state. And we suggested that some of those current things that they are using in their traffic diversion program made sense to use in this program. So those are a couple of the nuances and changes that we had talked about incorporating these features together.
Thank you.
And members, Ms. Berezovsky can share some thoughts as well. Ms. Berezovsky.
Mr. Chair and members, a couple other differences in addition to the ones that Mr. Franklin and Senator Westrom highlighted are the statutory surcharge, because I believe, as I read Senator Westrom's bill, it's silent on the statutory surcharge, which is $75 per violation normally. And I interpret the silence on the surcharge to mean that participants in the program would have to pay the statutory surcharge. And in Senator Schmidt's bill, they would be exempt from paying the statutory surcharge. So that's one difference. But I should also note that Senator Schmidt has a delete-all amendment, and I'm assuming that he's going to offer it. Assuming that he does offer it, another change is that he has included more offenses that could be charged this way or diverted to the education program. And Senator Westrom's pretty much mirror what we have in the administrative citations statute, with a slight difference in the speed threshold. And the, as I think Mr. Franklin indicated, the disposition of the fines is also different in the two bills.
Right. Thank you. Any other questions, members? All right, and I understand Senator Schmidt is on his way to present his bill. Do you have anything further, Senator? Yes, I actually, to be honest with you, members, I haven't dreamt up how to proceed on these bills. I was going to leave it to the committee to decide whether or not to move both out and let the next committee sort things out and reconcile them, or kill one and move another, or pause one and move another. Or if you hate the whole idea, pause both. Right. Would anyone else like to testify on the Westrom bill, or testify?
I'll stay here till.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, and are there
Senator Franz,
the same versions of these bills in the House, or are they also moving?
I understand that Senator Westrom's bill has a companion. Senator Schmidt's does not have a companion. I don't know if
right.
there will be a companion.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamer, my House counterpart has the bill that's okay. Counterpart to mine.
Right. Is he awaiting Senate action?
You know, I thought he said he had a hearing on it, but we're carrying a few different ones together, and I might be mixing.
Okay. Senator Schmidt, why don't you come forward and present your bill, and then we can have the rest of the committee discussion and additional testimony, and then we can figure out how to proceed. Welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm sorry I'm running a little late today. We're trying to be in two places at once, so I guess we all have that burden on us this session. Well, I'm enthusiastic here to be able to present this bill to you today, and it gets at an issue I think we're all familiar with, and that's that of local traffic safety diversion programs. The state auditor has issued a report expressing some concerns with the lack of clarity under law right now. We also have a court decision affecting some programs in southeastern Minnesota. And darn it, you know, in my mind, there's things government should do, things government shouldn't do, but the one thing we should always strive to do is have clarity under law where we can. And I think this is a case for that, and we can do a lot of good work here in this committee today to try to authorize these programs moving forward. In my mind, a lot of these traffic safety diversion programs offer a great educational component for folks who are cited for minor traffic violations. We've seen a great track record in southeastern Minnesota in the counties of Goodhue and Wabasha. And in my mind, I'd like to have a path forward for these programs to continue. As the son of a driver safety instructor, I know that a lot of us drivers, we only have one chance at that educational programming, and that's in driver's ed when we're high school students. And this is a great opportunity, these programs, these driver safety programs, to target those individuals who may be speeding, may have other minor traffic safety violations, expose them to additional educational programming, and improve traffic safety along the way. And I think we've got some great models in southeastern Minnesota, great partnerships between the counties and the cities in our local law enforcement and public safety agencies. Love to authorize a path forward for these programs under law and give them an opportunity to resume. And so we have a great slate of testimony here today. But before we get into that, I'd like to offer the A1 amendment. We have a couple of technical changes I'd like to get before you, and actually more than technical changes. What we're trying to do is improve this bill here from the get-go.
All right. So author's amendment, the A1. Senator Kent, do you mind making that motion?
I move the A1 amendment.
All in favor of the A1, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries.
And I'm not sure if members of the committee would like an outline of the A1. I would defer to Senate staff if we do have an overview of the A1. If you're not requiring it, that's okay. I'd be happy to get into the crux of the bill here.
The summary in front of you is written to the A1 amendment. From Ms. Berezovsky. Senator Schmidt, why don't you just present the bill as you see fit?
Very well. Well, what we're trying to do with the bill here is clearly authorize the traffic safety programs. We have a history of increasing surcharges and fees that are tacked on to citations at the local level. Our sheriffs and our testifiers will say today that it would be ideal to have a third choice between a written warning or an oral warning and a full citation. These traffic safety diversion outlet, that offers a third way where you're able to offer that educational component to folks who are cited for minor traffic safety violations. And so what we're intending to do here with the bill is clearly authorize these programs to exist under law, and that's what you're seeing in Subdivision 1 beginning on page 2 of the A1. And as we move down, and I'll just go over this in a general format, happy to address any questions. Down in Subdivision 2, what we've set out is a process by which the Department of Public Safety will engage a number of stakeholders in identifying a best practices list for what should be included in the educational component of the traffic safety programs. And so that's laid out in Subdivision 2 and Subdivision 3. We have a number of stakeholders that we've asked the department to reach out to. In Subdivision 4, we have a clear statement that the surcharge of $75 does not apply to these programs. In speaking with our local law enforcement and the folks who are administering these programs, the view is that if the surcharge were to apply, it would make these programs uneconomic and very difficult to administer. I would defer to their testimony on this matter, as they're the ones who've been running these programs in the past. And then we have authorization for contracting with third parties to administer the programs. And also a clear authority in terms of what needs to be, what sorts of thresholds or standards need to be met for those who are administering the programs and providing the educational programming itself. And then also another question here is just the issue of driver records and making sure that we're keeping track of those drivers who have been offered and have been admitted and taken the driver safety programming at the local level. All these concerns that we're raising and addressing today have been identified in the state auditor's report dealing with traffic safety diversion programming. And what we're trying to do is put forth a best effort here, not only to authorize the programs, but to do so in a meaningful way that gives us all a sense of confidence that there's a legitimacy in the educational component in programming, that folks who participate in these programs are tracked and that we have a basic standard that these programs are following throughout the state. And so it's been my pleasure to work with a number of stakeholders, including the Department of Public Safety, the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, MPPOA, and others, in crafting this language and in starting this conversation here today. And with that said, I would really welcome the opportunity to entertain any questions you might have and certainly get our testimony before the committee. It's my understanding that you have not heard their testimony yet. Is that right, Mr.
Chair? That's correct, yeah. So why don't we hear testimony, and then we'll revert to questions. All right. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Senators. Rodney Bartz, Wabasha County Sheriff.
Welcome.
My name is Scott McNerney. I'm Sheriff of Goodhue County.
Great. Thank you.
I'll start with just a little bit of history. I think we were one of the first counties in the to start this program up in 2003. It was at that time where a local surcharge was increased to $75. I believe it's $85 now, on top of the small traffic citation. We saw that at the local level it was going to make it really hard for officers to do their jobs to give that standard citation for what not only the cost of it, but it was that insurance ramification that we were concerned about most. And we had run it by our county attorneys at the time. They said, yes, under prosecutional authority, discretion, we should be able to run this program. And we started running this program. What we saw immediately was an outreach. The contact we had with the public was so favorable that for the first time they saw government not taking from them. And I think it's something that we all feel as we work in government, the friction from the public as far as us against them. And this was truly a breakthrough that our officers were seeing at the end of the classes. They had just a change of paradigm in 2 hours in this class, that it wasn't us against them. It was us with you, and we're going to do this together. I learned something, and it was through those evaluations that I continued the course and keep doing this, because at times it seemed like it certainly wasn't worth the friction or the controversy, but it was those evaluations that that truly kept me going. And the other thing that when we talk about money, I think it should be known, and I don't think a lot of people do. I think it was in 2003 or 2004 where the law was changed where the two-thirds of the base fine is split and given to cities and towns for a standard traffic citation. Counties get nothing, not $1. And at the end of the day, we sometimes have to evaluate, at least I do as elected sheriff, that that we're putting, and recently I just got a bill for a radar unit, $2,500. And I looked at it and I said, and this was just the other day, and I said, why did I order this? I said, if this class comes to an end and our taxpayers funded this for $2,500, and all that money goes to the state, and there's no trickle down from my radar unit, so what am I doing? So it makes you think about that. And it was never a money making proposition, but it was something about keeping something local for what we were doing, and I guess it kind of spread across the state. Before I end and let Sheriff McNerland talk, I just want to have one evaluation. It said at the end, it said everyone should have a chance for this class. It would change everyone's driving. Things people don't know. Laws change so much. But thanks for the good job. And it gives us different perspective on what officers do. And it was the best thing I could have done. And it said, go Packers.
Thank you. That's my nice. I was like, kiss him. Right. Chief McNerland.
Sheriff McNerlin.
Sheriff.
We've been doing the program since 2008. We've had just tremendously good feedback from the constituents that have taken our program. We also collected evaluations at the end of every session, and they were always very favorable. People were appreciative of an opportunity to learn. Our Sheriff's Association Director, Jim Franklin, is very fond of saying there are three E's. When we talk about traffic, there's engineering, enforcement, and education. One of the things that is woefully lacking in our state is educational opportunities for drivers who have already achieved their driver's license. Part of the feedback that we received on a couple of our evaluations were people were so grateful for the educational opportunity, we had them request if they could bring siblings or sons or daughters to the program for them to actually view the curriculum, which we allowed. That told us really quite a lot about the fact that we were kind of hitting the nail on the head when it came to the educational component. Many people leave the program not realizing many of the hazards related to driving today and the main causes of fatality accidents, etc. It also blends in directly with the other things that we do with the state of Minnesota, such as the Towards Zero Death Corridor initiative, where we go out and do traffic safety measures to improve the safety for our citizens on our roadways. There, again, the component that we're, that's an enforcement opportunity, but the component we're missing is education. And we quite honestly found folks that were kind of in the middle of really not warranting a pay citation to the state and perhaps not really going to benefit from a verbal or written warning. This program really suffices that niche. It allows us the opportunity to bring them in and show them exactly what their driving behavior can do to themselves and other people. So over the years that we've done this program, we've found great value in it. Our constituency really seems to appreciate and enjoy it. We have talked a little bit here about the money component. I know we've had extensive conversations with the state auditor about the money component. We've had extensive conversations with Senator Schmidt about that as well. We do believe that there does need to be something that does come back to the county for providing this opportunity and curriculum. We think that's important balance in moving the program forward.
All right. Any questions for our two sheriffs? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, or Senator Schmidt, or the representatives from law enforcement. I had a question from some local municipalities. I serve the Ted Foss law. Is that covered in the A1 amendment? I'm not exactly clear what the I was just trying to look it up and couldn't find it. Do you know what that is?
Mr. Chair and Senator, I'm actually not I'm not sure. I don't believe it is. I've been informed it is not covered.
It is not covered.
Senator, does, we have an answer over.
Okay. I defer to the experts.
Ms. Berzoski.
Mr. Chair, it's in the amendment on 2.10. So it would be eligible offense for this kind of a program.
All right. Thank you.
So that's, do you have a question?
So, members, that's passing a parked emergency vehicle in violation of section 169.18 sub 11. Yes, that's the Ted Foss law. Senator Peterson?
Okay, thank you. Yep, that answers my question that it is covered by the amendment.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair, Senator Schmidt or testifiers, would you guys be open to striking that language out of the amendment? Is there a reason why that was included in the A1 amendment or it wasn't in the original language?
Mr. Chair and Senator Miller, what we had discussed is expanding the list of violations to be included to be consistent with other such programs and to not be overly, I guess, restrictive. I think if you ask local law enforcement, they'd say that they'd like to have the latitude in how to apply this and to invite folks into the program. On the flip side, I don't think that this particular provision is anything that we necessarily need to prioritize today. If members of the committee would prefer to remove it, I'm not going to stand in your way. I'd certainly defer to the folks on my left and right here to add to that, but I don't think that this one in particular is going to be cause for heartburn for us, at least, in moving forward with the program. In fact, you know, I think it might be the benefit of this committee and of this bill and for local law enforcement to strike that. So I'd entertain an amendment to delete that.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I'll offer that amendment.
What were we talking about, Mr. Chair? The Ted Foss law? From my perspective, I'd prefer to see it in there. That's the law that requires people to move over when a law enforcement vehicle is parked on the side of the road. From my perspective, that's what I wanted to see. I couldn't find it in the bill. My constituents just referred to it as the Ted Foss law, and then I could not find that reference in the bill. So from my perspective, I would like to see that in there.
Right.
That's Senator different from what you were Miller. Talking about.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'd like to hear from the sheriffs what their perspective is on it. I mean, I'm certainly not in law enforcement, but to me, that would be certainly a concern of mine.
And it is a concern, for sure, and it probably should be taken out.
I didn't quite hear you. You think it?
I would say yes to take it out.
It should be taken out.
Okay.
It is not an option for the diversion program.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So, Senator Miller renews, or Senator Miller makes a motion to delete strike line 2.10.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would make that motion.
Okay. Great. Any questions, members?
Chair.
Senator Westrom.
Well, Mr. Chair, just to clarify, and it kind of goes to the whole bill, a citation is still a citation is still given to the offender, and if they don't want to take the diversion and just pay the ticket or challenge it in court, that is simultaneously an option that they have. So just because they've just because they've been given the citation, and may the witnesses can confirm if I misunderstand this, but just because they've been given the citation doesn't mean that they have to go through that diversion program. They can go the traditional route as well, and I'll stand for any correction if I've misstated something. But that's my understanding. I just want to bring that point to the committee, both in my bill and Senator Schmidt's, as I understand it.
That is my understanding as well.
Mr. Chair, if I could
the
just
option
add.
Of the person who receives the citation, limited to, of course, the list of eligible offenses. Senator Schmidt.
If I could just add, and thank you, Senator Westrom, for bringing this up. What we're trying to do with these programs is just offer another level of choice for our local law enforcement agencies and also for those who have been cited for minor traffic safety violations. There's the choice of offering this class to those who are pulled over for minor traffic safety violations, and then there's similarly the choice of those who are offered enrollment in the course. They can accept or decline. And so this is not overly prescriptive, telling local law enforcement what they have to do. It certainly is not telling those who are pulled over with a minor citation deciding whether or not to opt in or opt out. So it's a choice at both levels for the law enforcement officers and also for the drivers.
So to put that in different words, Senator Schmidt, the local law enforcement can choose to write either a traditional citation or an administrative, a local citation.
And
so,
if I could clarify, actually, right. there are two separate issues, and I would defer to the experts on my left and right. But what we're focusing on here is not administrative citations, but rather traffic safety and diversion programming. And those can be offered, in partner with issuance of a citation. And at that stage, it's the choice of an officer whether or not to give the person pulled over that option of enrolling in the course. And then if that person is given that option, he or she can subsequently choose whether or not to enroll or simply pay the full citation.
For that clarification.
And that's my I'm pretty darn sure we got that right. But that's what we're trying to do here is provide some additional choice and options for local law enforcement.
And the effect of removing 2.10 would not allow for a diversion alternative in the instance of a violation of the Ted Foss law.
Mr. Chair, that's right. That would be one less violation that would be eligible for this sort of programming.
Great.
And I think you've heard from the witnesses here that we would accept that amendment and support it if you'd like to move forward with that. Again, it's not one that we're terribly, I think, passionate about. But on the flip side, if it's the view and wisdom of this committee to move forward, so be it.
All right. Comfortable, Senator Peterson? All right. On the Miller motion, Senator Sendrum.
Mr. Chair, I wonder if Senator Schmidt could maybe help me walk through, and I always think better through example, and I travel Highway 52 a lot, so if I'm stopped going 75 miles an hour somewhere down by Cannon Falls, then I have the option of accepting the ticket and the fine, whatever it is, and probably mailing that dollar in, whatever that is, or going to a diversion program someplace, probably in Red Wing, and is it economically a different? What is it? What are the options? Or I know I understand paying the fine, but the diversion part, is it?
Right.
Is it paying $75 to go into an educational program, and then if I do that, what is that less money than the full ticket?
Well, you know,
Senator Schmidt, I know you have to go vote. Do you want to think about the answer, go vote, and come back,
I'll
and maybe
right
we'll
back.
Have the
okay.
sheriffs try to respond?
Senator Sedgen,
trying to understand this whole thing.
Yeah, essentially, you could in any local jurisdiction, you could be pulled over for, let's say, speeding violation.
Sure.
And on the spot right there, if it's within 15 miles per hour of the posted speed,
okay.
that citation is eligible for the officer giving the violator, the driver, the option. You can either get a full citation, or you can get written a citation with an invitation to attend a driver safety class. And then the question, so once that invitation to join a driver safety class is issued, then the question comes to the driver. Does he or she want to pay the full citation amount, or does he or she want to simply attend the driver safety class? And in terms of the economics of it, we've seen a dramatic increase in the surcharges attached to these citations over time, and that's made it very difficult, especially in much of Greater Minnesota, for individuals to pay the fines. And so this driver safety program allows folks a choice of paying, the fee associated with the driver safety class. Mm-hmm. Typically, they're very comparable to one another, and I would defer to the gentleman on my shoulders here to give an example of
sure.
what they charge. But I think that there tends to be an incentive for folks to take the class because
okay.
we view it as an opportunity for improving education and,
sure.
and through that, safety on the streets.
Okay. Well, thank you. And you need to go vote.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'd love to address this or any other question when I get back. It's one of those days. Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
All right. It's kind of related to the Miller motion. Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair, this question to Senator Westrum, In your bill, Senator Westrum, you have, I think there was three offenses, and this one opens it up. And I understand that I understand the reasoning to open it up, but going from 3 to 9 is quite a difference. So Senator Westrum, that's the difference between your bill. Is there a reason why you just stuck to those three and not open it up to additional offenses?
Senator Westrum.
Mr. Chair, no strong reason. Senator Miller, Representative McNamer and I were working on this this past winter and had run some by the Sheriff's Association and our local department, and those were three that they were comfortable with, but there was no strong reason necessarily that it was just left to that. So I don't have a reason to just leave it at 3. I think offering some local options is generally in the spirit of this diversion program, and so I foresee Senator Schmidt and my bill being commingled along the way here and probably improved as we go.
Very good. Senator Miller, are we done? I have Senator Pratt, then Senator Osmond, then Senator Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Westrum.
Just can I ask a staff, are we online streaming right now? My local sheriff just emailed me and I wanted to tell him if we were. Or is this not an online? Does anybody know?
We'll find that out.
They can just privately let me know.
Get word to you. Thanks. Usually, at a minimum, our audio streams typically. In all cases, I don't know for video streaming or not. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a very basic question. So if somebody enrolls in one of these classes, are their charges dismissed and therefore it's not reported to the state database, or do they still get a guilty plea and the offense is on their record?
And I believe this current provision of Senator Schmidt's bill, it does not go on the record. It is reported to the state, but not for the purposes of insurers, for example, to know that the person had violated, but for law enforcement to track so that we know if the person's had a diversion within the last year, for example, that we won't offer them that opportunity again.
Okay.
So, Sheriff, Senator Pratt.
No, I was just saying thank you.
Yeah, I think I had a similar question, or maybe I wasn't listening closely, and it's the exact same question. So, is it I may have gotten a traffic ticket in my life. I'm not saying whether or not that's actually true, and I may have gone down to the Violations Bureau to contest it, and they may have had me pay the fine, but stayed the citation for a year, and then if I were to keep my nose clean for a year, then it vanishes. If I were to have a subsequent violation, I'd get that one and the one that I'm talking about. Is that the case here? If they were to have a second offense within 12 months, would the stay on their record of that first offense be lifted, and then that would also go on their record, or is it just goes on?
If you're offered the diversion program, uh-huh, and successfully attend the course,
right,
that does not go on your record. So if you receive a subsequent offense in 12 months,
right,
more than likely you won't get the diversion.
Right.
You would go to court as would be your option, right, and you could handle it how you see fit there.
Right.
That offense, if you are convicted of it, would more likely go on your record.
Great.
But
thank
your
you.
Subsequent offense would not, as I understand it.
Great. Thank you.
So. Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay. So it's Senator Osmick, then Senator Kiffmeyer.
Oh, you've got that.
Sorry.
Unless it's to that point. If it's that to that point, I'll yield to Senator Kiffmeyer. Otherwise, I'm going
to... Is that to this point, Senator Kiffmeyer?
No.
Okay. All right. Senator Osmick.
Okay.
I'll just let you guys go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Didn't know you were such a scoffball. For
so theoretically, I might have.
And, for,
and if you look at my record, it's not on there. So.
For a council, in this, in either one of these laws or proposed pieces of legislation, is there anything that compels the authorities to allow all of these in all circumstances? Example being, in Crow Wing County, I've seen many signs telling people make sure you don't pass on the right because apparently some child died. Obviously, in a situation where there is bodily injury or property harm, I'm not certain that I would be supportive of having a diversion program circumvent some type of criminal justice system. Within this legislation, if we happen to adopt, let's say, the Schmidt bill, does that compel us to offer the diversion process in the event of bodily injury, or are there outs in this legislation that would actually allow us to say that in the case of, you know, you killed someone, that you don't have the option at the diversion program?
Ms. Berzowski.
Mr. Chair, as I understand it, with the offenses that are listed in the amendment on page 2.4 to 2.16, I believe they're all petty misdemeanors. And so if a person is injured, or there's personal injury that results from what might otherwise be charged as a petty misdemeanor, it's no longer a petty misdemeanor under these cited sections. It would be cited, it would be enhanced, and I believe cited under a different section, and maybe the law enforcement people could confirm if that's true. But so that would not preclude adoption of this program by the local unit does not mean that a person who caused bodily injury by committing what would otherwise be a petty would not be charged by... with a higher offense.
Senator Osmer. And a follow-up to that. So, but in the case where, let's say that a person, let's use pass on the right as an example, that person may have passed on the right, gone through the diversion program, and then committed a second pass on the right, and this time clipped someone, that the first one wouldn't be on the record and also wouldn't be available to the court to perform any, when you're remediating that situation, that wouldn't be available to the court or any of any jurisdiction, correct?
Ms. Berzoff.
Mr. Chair and Senator Osmek, you're correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is somewhat along the same lines. I think the biggest thing is that this gives an opportunity, as I understand it, for local law enforcement to choose the diversion, not mandate them to choose the diversion. And I think that's a very important distinction. I'm hearing our conversation here sometimes as if under all of these cases that this might be an automatic. I don't see that at all. I think, as always, it's a discretion to the level, to the greed, the number of charges. There's a whole variety of things that go into an officer making a stop like that. So I just want to be sure that we don't think that this is mandating something or anything else. But I think in certain circumstances, I think that there's a tremendous benefit, especially in the particular case of the around a parked vehicle. It's a fairly new law, and of requiring that you move over, excellent law and all that. But this is one of those cases where in some situations, giving a diversion so that you have education is in the best interest of public safety. I have no doubt that the law enforcement in situations where this is risking life or limb or something is a factor influencing this, without question, would proceed to a full ticket or anything else that would be justified in that situation. I just want us to understand, and I think I have, because of that, because it's not mandated to do a diversion, it's just a option, and all the other ones are there yet, that I think it would be okay as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Thank you. It occurs that we haven't voted on the Miller motion to amend. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sort of related to the motion. In Senator Senjum's, this is a question for counsel. In Senator Senjum's example that he shared, if a state trooper pulls somebody over on Highway 52 versus a county sheriff or local law enforcement and local police department, then what happens?
Sheriff.
Mr. Chair. You have a and Senator Miller, that's truly where the difference is. The troopers haven't been allowed into this program, and it's certainly something that I know Sheriff McNerland and the rest of the sheriffs would be open to, is open that up to the troopers, because I think they'd like to have that option as well, that, you know what, that they live in the communities, the same communities we live in, and I would be fine with that, and having them come to the sheriff's run class, truly. And then something would have to be worked out there with the dollar amounts there. But I'd be open to doing that, because they're our same folks that they're citing.
I believe Senator Westrom's bill,
sure,
does address state troopers, mm-hmm, in that bill as well. That would be under Section C, line 3.6. It talks about state troopers being allowed to participate, collect fees in the same manner, issue traffic diversion in the same manner. I don't believe it's in Senator Schmidt's bill. Right?
So either Sheriff, if the troopers opted to allow then for the diversion, then the person who and themselves opts to go to the diversion classes would go to the class in the county where the citation was issued? Sure.
It doesn't specify that, so I'm not sure if,
okay,
if that would be the idea or not, or if the State Patrol would do their own traffic safety program. I'm not sure.
To be determined. Senator Osmek.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to amend Senator Miller's motion to also delete lines 2.8 and 2.16.
So eliminate from the list of options a violation for passing on the right and a violation for texting while driving.
Yep. And I'll speak to that.
All right,
Mr.
Senator
Chair.
Osmek.
Those two particular items are very difficult for me because I think we need to have teeth on. If you're texting while driving, you need to be hit with the penalties. I understand the reasons behind having perhaps a remediation course. Children have been killed on shoulders, and Section 2.8 is serious. And 2.16 with the wireless, we're seeing more and more of this. The more we take teeth out of things, the more people will say, well, gee, I could just go to a remediation course. I prefer not to have them in there.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's exactly the wrong approach on those two things, because I think they should be taught in a class to not do it, and that by going to the remediation class, the fine might get a certain effect or bang for the buck, but I think that if they're actually in a remediation class that they can see why they shouldn't do it, that we're better off that they do it that way than as opposed to just making them pay the fine and not having it as one of the things they can go to the class for. I think it's a good thing to leave it in there. I would oppose the OSMIC amendment.
So the OSMIC motion is to amend the Miller amendment. Senator Miller can decide if this is a friendly amendment or not, or if not, we'll take the motion to amend separately.
Chair,
also, we're not going to vote on this until Senator Schmidt gets back in any case.
I guess I would ask our experts, our sheriffs. I'll just give, going back to Senator Senjum, an example. A couple weeks ago, I'm driving down Highway 61 in Winona, and I see a truck in front of me just swerving all over the place. So it's a four-lane and two and two, obviously, and somebody, I mean, just totally swerving, terrible, and going under the speed limit. It's 55 miles an hour. They're going probably 45 and all over the place, and then we came up to the stop light. We got there at the same time, and I look over, and there's a person, the driver, is just texting on their phone. So it's a serious issue, a very dangerous issue. I agree with Senator Osmick's approach. I don't disagree with Senator Tomasoni. So I'd like to hear what our experts say at the table.
Well, Sheriff, we were just informed that was placed in the bill at the request of a police department that does use both of those options as educational components in their program, and they requested or would like to see that remain for that purpose. The opportunity, especially with youth, to teach them about the dangers of texting and driving. And to that issue, I did participate in a study with young people using a simulator and trying to accomplish that very task, and it is quite revealing to find out how deadly it actually is.
I think Mr. Chair? I think
sure.
The other thing we need to be aware of is each one of these violations in themselves can end in quite severe trauma, whether it be a stop sign or passing on a right, text, speeding. I mean, speeding could be a contributing factor to a fatality. I'm not sure how when we start putting one above the other, that we could look at them all kind of the same as well. So
members, I just have an announcement to make. I don't think we're going to get Senator Schmidt back. He's presenting his broadband bills and jobs right now, and that's a pretty big deal. And so he's detained. So I think we're going to continue our questions and finish our testimony and come back for action on these bills on Wednesday. So where are we? Senator Rest.
Thank you. Was that the Plymouth Police Department?
Ms. Franklin.
Mr. Chairman, members, Senator Rest. Yes, the
okay.
Plymouth, Maple Grove, and the Metro have the three violations that
found
are
out how I'm voting.
The three violations that are currently before your discussion here, those three are on the NHTSA traffic safety grant that they are enforcing currently with federal dollars in order to try to promote safety again. And they, again, are focusing on the issue of education over the issue of enforcement. And so in consistency, trying to keep a federal program and a state statute consistent with one another, we had recommended to Senator that maybe if you want to incorporate those in, that might be consistency, so we didn't have inconsistent between what's going on federal and state currently.
Great. Thank you. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my bigger concern in this, and I'm glad we're having this discussion, is if someone gets pulled over for one of these offenses, whichever one it is, they're all serious, could be serious offenses, it doesn't go on their record if they go through the course, and there's pros and cons. But if someone gets pulled over for texting the second time, the law enforcement has no ability to see that they got pulled over the first time, and maybe then a warning is issued. So now maybe they get a third. And I know there's all kinds of hypotheticals here, but I guess that's my bigger picture concern with where this could lead.
Mr. Franklin.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, we the only state database that we have is the Minnesota Driver's License DVS system, by which we park our citations that are going through the courts and convictions. All local units of government have a database. Many local units of government have merged those databases. As an example, in Wabasha County, they have a single database that most agencies work from. In Mankato, where I came from, where there's a five-county consortium. Where my wife works in a police department, it's a 10-city consortium. So they can see each other's records. Now, if you get somebody from Babbitt, Minnesota, in Rock County, they may not be able to look at it because we don't have that connection. But basically speaking, they can look back, see what those records are. Is it a perfect system? No, but it's the best one that we have at the moment.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Miller.
To that point, so if somebody gets pulled over in Wabasha County, for the example that I use, the first time they go to the class, second time, you would have that information in Wabasha County that individual got pulled over for that offense.
Yes, that's correct. We'd have that information. The other thing I could point out was that there's no way of tracking verbal and written warnings either around the state, and it's just an example.
So, why don't you? So, Ms. Berezovsky has some information about reporting citations and reporting subsequent citations and reporting issues in the Westrum bill.
Mr. Chair and members, I just wanted to point out that in Senator Westrum's bill, there is reporting of the violation. It isn't recorded on the actual driver's driving record, but it is reported to the comprehensive incident-based reporting system in order to make sure that nobody can enter a diversion program with more than two violations in a 12-month period.
All right. I lost track of who's next on the list. Senator Osmick.
Okay. To that point, so what you're saying is that Senator Schmidt's bill does not have that stipulation.
Mr. Chair and Senator Osmick, that is correct. However, Senator Schmidt's bill directs the Commissioner of Public Safety to establish best practices, and let's see here. One of the areas that the commissioner would have to weigh in on is eligibility for participation, including whether a person who previously completed a program is eligible to participate again. So there might be some room there for the commissioner to issue a best practice notice in that area.
Senator,
to that point, Ms. Berezovsky, then, so, but nothing says it clearer than having it actually written down, which Senator Westrum's bill specifically says what to do, as opposed to maybe we will, maybe we won't, want a recommendation, correct?
Mr. Chair and Senator Osmond, you are correct.
Thank you. One additional point, Mr. Chair. Sort of piggybacking on what Senator Miller had to say. So what we're saying is, if we went in Senator Schmidt's direction and we had a situation where we implemented what he's saying, somebody up in International Falls who drove a couple of different places in the state could have would not have the same application of the law, because if they got picked up in Laverne and they got picked up in Owatonna, that information may not coordinate. So they could be the application of the law could be different than if you got picked up, the same person got picked up in the same, let's say, in Mankato that had the five jurisdictional combination. They would see this, but our law, and then this is a state law, would be applied differently across different jurisdictional boundaries. So that really tells me the direction I'm going with this entire mess, is that I'm sorry to call it a mess, but that it's an this would be an inapplication or unequal application of the law in Senator Schmidt's bill, and probably wouldn't hold up in court. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Okay, so Senator Schmidt is back. Oh, Senator Westrom. So maybe
Mr.
We will.
Chair,
yes, Senator Westrom.
As I'm thinking about this, I probably would tend to agree with Senator Tomasoni, and I would just ask the members to think about, I mean, the reason for doing this is to allow another option to the local jurisdictions, but also to your constituents. And, you know, the texting law, for example, that's a pretty new law. You know, when it passed, I was somebody that said, well, if we're going to go after texting, let's just go after everything that's distractive, including putting makeup on, eating cheeseburgers, eating fries, brushing your hair. You know, and I didn't promote going in that direction, but my point is, you know, people do what they're comfortable with. And texting, I think that's a great opportunity for, in some circumstances, that somebody, a local law enforcement, would offer this to people. So I would probably bias towards not passing these deletions and let the local jurisdictions.
So, Senator Schmidt, sorry to interrupt. You've been informed. So we have not yet voted on the Miller motion to eliminate line 2.10, the FOSS law. Okay. Senator Osmick has moved to amend the Miller motion to eliminate lines 2.8 and 2.16. 2.8, passing on the right, 2.16, texting while driving, from consideration.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I'm going to remove my amendment.
All right. Never mind. All right. So we're back to the Miller motion.
What's
Senator Thompson, huh?
What's the Miller motion?
To eliminate line 2.10. Passing a parked emergency vehicle in violation. So, in other words, not moving over to the left-hand lane when you go by an emergency vehicle that's on the shoulder, the Ted Foss law.
Right.
So that would be removed from the list of things for which diversion could be offered.
So I oppose that one too, Mr. Chairman, because I think education on it is good.
All right. Very good. Anything further on the Miller motion? We do have a couple more witnesses to testify. I want to get to them. And I'm guessing that Senator Schmidt would like us to. You're still presenting your broadband bill?
You know, I have to tell you, Mr. Chair and members, I feel like I just left, and the conversation hasn't changed too much here. I appreciate the deliberation over these amendments. And we're 1-for-1 today, so we just passed a broadband bill here.
Oh, you did? All right.
Yeah,
very good.
So I'd love to bring that sentiment down here if we can. I'll tell you what, I think there's been great conversation while I was gone, and I've been updated on it, and I don't think there's any problem with Senator Miller's amendment if that's the wisdom of the committee to move on that. I could certainly support that if that's going to move some votes among committee members and make you feel more comfortable with what we're trying to accomplish here.
All right. So anything further, members? Okay. All in favor of the Miller motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? No.
No.
No. Motion does not pass.
Division?
Mm-hmm. All right. All in favor, raise your hands.
Division. Does this help?
Oh, grab Vicky's arm.
Okay, all opposed? Are you all opposed? Raise your hands. With 5 yeses and 11 noes, the motion does not prevail. Chair's hearing still works. All right. All right. So Senator Schmidt is back. I guess we're ignoring my previous announcement. So we're going to We're going to have a vote. We do have...
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to Senator interject Schmidt. Here. We do have some additional testimony.
Right, yeah, I was just getting to that right
sure
now.
That.
Yes, so we have Chief Jim Warren from Wabasha and Kurt Glazer, attorney for the cities of Lexington and Centerville. If you could please come forward. Thank you. All right, whoever would like to start, please introduce yourself and proceed.
Hi, I'm Jim Warren. I'm the Chief of Police in Wabasha. I'm also used to work at the Sheriff's Office where this class first became about. I was asked to instruct that class for over a course of 10 years. And over that 10-year period, when we would have our classes, a lot of people think if you're coming to a class for law enforcement, we're going to sit and jam state statute down their throat and actually not care about why you're there, just for what reason we want you there. And that's not true. During that class, we actually talk about how it affects us as officers going to death scenes, had to go home and give a death notification to a loved one. And we bring that crowd into our life. Our jobs don't stop when we go home. And that's another thing we express to the people in that class is if we can draw them into what we actually have to do for a living, it changes their driving behavior after they leave that class. And to me, that's one of the things that I took away for the last 10 years is when you show that kind of commitment, people really do listen and care, because next time it might be you that I'm coming to visit. And in that class, it actually changes people's driving conduct.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Any questions, members? All right. Mr. Glazer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I serve as the prosecutor for three jurisdictions in Anoka County.
Please announce your name and your title for the record.
Oh, yes. My name is Kurt Glazer.
Mr. Chair, and if they could just get a little closer to the microphone, anybody listening on audio, it might be easier.
All right. Thank you.
Start over. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Kurt Glazer. I am the city attorney for Lexington, Minnesota, for Centerville, Minnesota, and I'm the special prosecutor for Circle Pines, Minnesota. I created the first online diversion program in the state, and I shadow all the comments that everyone's made today. I'm very thankful to see this, these two bills that are offered today. So I'll just take up a new topic, and that is one of the reasons in Anoka County that we felt it was wise to do diversion programming was because of what we saw in the courts, is that many of the offenses that you see offered in these bills now are what's called payable offenses. Someone can simply skip court and pay that bill or pay the offense. And so for whether it's texting or perhaps passing an emergency vehicle, they can simply pay that ticket. We saw diversion programming as a way to try to help public safety by encouraging people to attend education. And so we take a different approach. Well, we basically let almost every offense that's on the payables list that's a petty misdemeanor into the class as long as we have education to support that, because we do feel that this is the best way that we can save lives. And certainly we take surveys, online surveys, of everyone that goes through our coursework, and we do feel that the comments that we're getting are vastly popular, is that I've given some materials to the committee that shows that well over 50% and 60% of the people that go through our program find it's a very productive pursuit. But most importantly, police officers at the car side, we saw an unintended consequence, and that's this, is that they get an opportunity to sell public safety at the car side. Because the moment they say to an offender, you might have a chance to have this taken off your record, that engages the people car side in a way that they haven't had before. The chair was talking about when he got his ticket, sometimes we're kind of crabby if we get a ticket at the car side.
Allegedly, theoretically. Yeah.
And what our officers find is it changes. The whole mood just changed right there when the chair made a nice comment. And that gives our officers another opportunity to sell public safety at the moment they engage that driver by talking about this course. And so the local buy-in to that, which allows officers to buy into that, allows local jurisdictions to choose the offenses they want to include in the program, that all helps. So I encourage you to pass these bills. And also a word from the courts in Anoka County, which do support us, is that what we have found, our economic study, is that for every dollar we spend as a state to enforce fines and surcharges, we really only collect about 96 cents. And in at least in our program, for a dollar we spend to offer that program, the taxpayers see $3. And if we start factoring into the amazing, and there are amazing cost savings to our courts, to my prosecution budget, to my police department's budget, that $1 we spend turns into about $5.38 of benefit to our taxpayers. So the economic side of this is very powerful. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions of City Attorney Glazer? No. Okay. Thank you. Anything further, members? Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Schmidt, would you be open, and I think this would deal with the whole patchwork in the state in terms of the driving records, the section in Senator Westrom's bill, subdivision 8, this is section, bear with me, I think it's section 1, subdivision 8, where it talks about the violation will not be on the driving record, but it will be under section 299C.40 on the incident-based reporting system, because you have language to the effect of having best practices, but this one's more specific, and I tend to agree with Senator Osmick that it makes more sense to have a uniform system. Would that take care of that issue? Would council be able to indicate such, would it take care of that issue of having the patchwork of different jurisdictions, reporting-wise?
Mr. Chair and Senator Franzen, you're referring to Subdivision 8 on 3.14 in Senator Westrom's bill and importing that into the A1 amendment.
Correct.
I think you would probably also have to bring in 2.28 to 2.30 as well.
Yeah.
Senator Franzen.
Mr. Chair and Senator Schmidt, would you be open to that amendment as a friendly amendment just to give more specificity?
Mr. Chair and Senator Franzen, if that element of Senator Westrom's bill would make you more comfortable in voting for the bill before you right now, 2275, I'd certainly accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay.
And I think I think we're close on this bill, and I'd certainly like to see it move forward today. And if there are any amendments or improvements that you deem fit and that would win your support, I'd certainly entertain them. So thank you.
And so, Senator Franzen, do you have a motion?
Well, and I'd like to hear from Senator Westrom, Mr. Chair, whether that would also be something he would want to see in the final version. I think there's good things on both bills. I'm trying to see how we can.
So, and members, should the committee act favorably, I would move both of these bills or one or the other. Both bills, if and when they meet their policy deadlines, are then going to be subject to finance scrutiny, including. It creates some implications for the Trunk Highway Fund, so this is going to come back to this Finance Committee, and I think there's agreement among those who might agree that there's some good ideas in both bills that Senator Schmidt and Senator Westrom should work together on combining the best of their bills' ideas. That is, of course, if we agree. In general, and act favorably on them and keep them moving.
Mr. Chair, if I could add quickly,
Senator Schmidt.
Just so committee members know, we it's a busy time here this week and next, and the next stop for this would be the mm-hmm. Judiciary Committee. And I think this committee here today has been very instructive for us, and I would be more than happy to work with Senator Westrom in addressing any of your concerns and perhaps putting these bills together so the next time you saw them, it would be in good shape for you. With that said, I would really appreciate the opportunity to keep these bills moving
yep.
forward and
right.
and to meet deadline. So I hope that we're able to take action on these today. If it's right.
And Senator Schmidt, I think you're going to state and local next.
State and local next. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there we have it. So
right.
We have one more stop. So
state and local, then judiciary. So
then judiciary.
You got a lot of fast footwork to do before policy deadline.
You're making
Senator
point
Rest.
Better than me,
Senator. Yeah.
Chairman,
are we going to act on Senator Franzen's amendment?
Has Senator Franzen made a motion?
I do now. I'll make a motion to move that language from to wherever appropriate in Senator Schmidt's bill.
All right. So does everyone understand the Franzen motion? All right. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion carries. All right. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In keeping with the role that we are on, that something else that was discussed was about the State Patrol. And there's language in Senator Westrom's bill, line 3-6 through 3-9. I just wanted to have a discussion of it at least while we're in this committee,
sure,
whether to consider including that language in your bill as well. But you weren't in the room maybe when we had the discussion, so I thought I would like those of us who are around the table now to be able to have the discussion with you, though I'm certainly all supportive of moving them both forward no matter what.
Mr. Chair and Senator Schmidt, I have no problem whatsoever with that particular aspect of Senator Westrom's bill, and I would view your amendment if it were to be as favorable and friendly.
Well, Mr. Senator Chairman, Kimmer. If Ms. Borosofsky could concur on if it's those lines 3-6 to 3-9 and include them as a friendly.
To bring the State Patrol in as a entity or as a police officers who
included.
Can.
Included. Mm-hmm.
Who can create this option, Ms. Berezovsky? What would Senator Kiffmeyer's motion have to look like?
Mr. Chair, I think what it would look like is that the, okay, on Senator Westrom's bill, lines 3.6 to 3.9 would be inserted in the A1 amendment after 3.24, maybe there might have to be a few extra words just to make the B and C work together. But because under B, all fees are retained by the local unit of government for specified purposes, and then this C paragraph that would be imported into the Schmidt bill that redistributes the fines differently. State trooper cited violations.
Well, I'm open to either of those ways to do that, Senator Schmidt, but just having the discussion.
Sure. All right, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm wondering, I'm not opposed to the idea, but I'm very curious. I know we're not in a finance committee today, but I'm very curious to know what the financial implication would be, and I'd also like to know where the state troopers stand on that specific
All right.
amendment.
Fair. Yes. Sure. Fair questions. Mr. Turner is here. Oh, there he is. He can help us answer the money questions.
Thanks. Mr. Chairman, members, I guess I'll begin at the beginning. First of all, most of the financial implications have to do with this criminal traffic surcharge. To give a quick history, the surcharge was originally $25, and it paid for the post board when the post board was established. In 2002, it was raised to $35. In 2003, it was raised to $60. And then we started seeing problems that local law enforcement has discussed. County sheriffs and city policemen, particularly in rural Minnesota, were getting skittish about giving their neighbors a $120 traffic ticket.
Mr. Turner, when they were raised subsequently from that initial surcharge, what were those dollars used for?
All of the increases since it was $25 have gone straight to the general fund, and it is not connected to any certain budget. Mm-hmm. It's not connected to the public safety and transportation budget or the judiciary budget. It's just taken off the bottom line. It would be tracked at our chief fiscal analyst level with Senator Cohen.
Mm-hmm. It goes into Senator Cohen's checkbook, his finance chair checkbook.
In 2005, the fee went up to $72. Finally, in 2008, it went up to $75, which is where it's at now. We're getting to the point of diminishing returns where MMB tells us that if we increase it anymore, they're not going to give us any more revenue because citations simply aren't being given. I would particularly, like I said, in rural Minnesota. There's still going to be a fiscal note request for both of these bills, and the surcharge will be the hole in the general fund will be the major question, and how the courts and their analysts score this bill. Now, I know that the advocates will say these are tickets that aren't being given anyway. That may be true. And if you convince the court and we come out with zero impact, great. But it will be scored by the Supreme Court. And that's the main fiscal question with this bill. I don't know, was there something else anybody wanted to know?
No, I think that was part one of Senator Miller's question. Senator Miller.
And Mr. Chair, I just that's why I wanted to hear from the troopers. I have a hard time believing that that none of these offenses are issued a ticket. And I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. And then if they are being issued a ticket and they go to one of these courses, then somebody's losing the funding from that citation. And if it's a state trooper, then it's the state of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Turner.
Mr. Chairman, members, that is going to be the main question before the court. The original bills, both Senator Westrum's and Senator Schmidt's, were based on the administrative citation legislation that we passed in 2009, where they had those three narrow violations: speeding up to 10 miles an hour, stop signs, and then vehicle equipment violations. Senator Schmidt's bill expands this to include speeding up to 15 and then a number of others. I think the court will take that into consideration. The administrative citation fiscal note, if I remember correctly, it came back zero because they said it's a narrow enough universe that it wouldn't have a fiscal impact.
So, and members, I'll just mention to you that so the surcharge is one issue. The underlying fine is another issue, and fine, you know, the disbursement of fine revenue is specified in state statute. Some of it going to the grade crossing safety account. Some of it going to the trunk highway fund. Is there another place where it goes? The general.
Yeah, goes to the local.
Local, and then the local unit of government under the Western proposal, the fine revenue, half would go to the general fund of the local unit and half to the state general fund. So there'd be a trunk highway fund implication, plus grade crossing safety account would also take it. I mean, that's under the theory that tickets are being issued for under this regimen that would have otherwise been written more traditionally.
Mr. Chair, if I could just emphasize one difference between our bills, and I'm happy to work out this difference, is that my bill, as we foresee these programs moving forward, does not have a role for the state patrol to issue these citations. I'm sorry if you've been over this, but I just wanted to make sure that committee members knew that. And with Senator Westrum's bill, it wouldn't have a path forward for that. So, again, I would defer to the wisdom of the committee on this point moving forward, but that is an important distinction.
Right, right. And I think Senator Kiffmeyer is wondering if the state patrol should be brought into your bill or not. I haven't heard a motion yet. Did the state patrol want to weigh in on this conversation? Want to be in the Schmidt bill or not? Or the Westrum bill, for that matter? Mr. Donaski. Senator Westrum.
Well, Mr. Chair, just kind of that housekeeping issue. There's provisions in the Schmidt bill, Senator Schmidt bill, that I think would be welcomed in my bill and vice versa. And so I just offer that, and I don't, my bill officially, I don't believe, was moved, and we would come back to that. But do you have any thoughts? My bill is the only one that has a companion in the House, but I assume there's a companion floating around with this one somewhere.
Senator Westrum, my inclination would be to take a vote on both bills.
Sure.
Move them forward if it's the desire of the committee to act favorably on them. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I ask the authors or perhaps counsel, with the passage of each of these bills, and particularly now if we're involving the Highway Patrol, would that require all individual units of government to take up a diversion program, or is that still a local option?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Is the divergent program a local option?
Mr. Chair, Senator Schmidt, if I could just emphasize, this is just an additional tool in the toolbox for local law enforcement. It's up to cities, counties, and their public safety, local law enforcement agencies as to whether or not they want to participate in these programs.
So, Mr. Chair,
just
to follow up then, if we do include the State Highway Patrol, it would depend on, obviously, which Goodyear and Wabasha would work, but in Aiken County it wouldn't, unless they took up the program.
It would be at the discretion of Aiken County as to whether or not they want to participate.
Okay.
Right. I don't think that answers the question about if the State Patrol were to issue the citation in Aiken County, though. That, I don't think that's clear, even with the language we have. Ms. Berezovsky, you wanted to respond?
Mr. Chair and Senator Senjum, I was just going to say that under the current law on administrative citations, if a local unit of government adopts an administrative citation program, it can be ticketed by State Patrol or by local law enforcement, and that it doesn't require statewide uniformity if State Patrol is included.
Okay, I think I understand.
All right. Mr. Donaski.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. So is that's current law?
Ms. Berezovsky.
Mr. Chair and Senator Miller, current law on administrative citations. Yes, that does allow ticketing by either locals or State Patrol in a jurisdiction where the local unit of government has adopted an administrative citation program.
Mr. Chair, could I?
Understand.
Because I thought I heard one of the sheriffs say that they would welcome the State Patrol into their program, but they're not active now. Did I not hear that?
Well, again, we need to make the distinction between administrative citations and these diversion programs.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Mr. Franklin.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Senjum, if there is a 169 administrative citation program and the State Patrol were to issue a citation within that community or that county who is running that program, then they would participate. I believe the sheriff's comment relative to Senator Westrum's bill is the door is open. There's an opportunity, the way this language is written, perhaps a State Patrol could participate in a county program. The other option is that the State Patrol could run their own diversion program on a statewide basis in some way. The language in the bill, as I read it, is not prescriptive. It is optional, and I think there's some creativity that could be done. I think all of that would need to be worked out with the State Patrol on that type of a situation.
Okay.
All right. So where are we? Oh, Mr. Donaska. Welcome. Please introduce yourself.
Mr. Chair, Mark Donaska, the Assistant Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety. If I may, I feel a little bit like the Grinch coming here today because after all this nice talk about the programs that you're talking about, and I must add that we've had conversations with the author and with the Sheriff's Association. The Department of Public Safety does have concerns with diversion programs. You've heard a lot today about the convenience, about the high fines, clearly, which were pointed out that one of the issues that we have in the state of Minnesota is we have high fines. And particularly in rural Minnesota, it's difficult for troopers and law enforcement officers to be issuing those. We've talked about the public acceptance of the diversion programs. What we haven't talked a lot about today is actually traffic safety. And in our research, we found that across the country, there's not a lot of research out there that actually indicates that diversion programs have a positive effect on traffic safety. And so while they sound good and they feel good, we're just not yet convinced. We haven't seen any documentation that says if you run a diversion program, you will see a reduction in crashes or that you will see a reduction in fatalities. And so while we're open to the idea of anything that would enhance traffic safety in the state of Minnesota, we remain a little skeptical about the diversion programs. Second, and some of the topics that you've talked about today I think are very, very relevant, was brought up, and I think Senator Westrum had in his bill, some type of recording of the citations. It's very difficult, and I think, as the Senator pointed out, as you cross the state, if somebody gets a citation in International Falls and then travels down to Grand Rapids and gets a citation and travels to St. Cloud and gets a citation, if there's no record kept of it, it makes it very difficult to track habitual offenders. And then thirdly, it's a continuity across the state. If the State Patrol does participate or does not participate, we have a situation, again, where you've got motorists traveling through one county where a diversion program is offered and then moving into another county where a diversion program is not offered, or a potential happening where you might have a trooper and a sheriff's deputy both working on the same stretch of highway, and the sheriff's deputy issuing a citation and having a diversion program, and the trooper issuing a citation for $170 or $180. So while we're very open to the conversation, we'd like to continue to have the conversation, the Department of Public Safety and the State Patrol does have some concerns about the diversion program.
All right. Pretty clear answer. All right. Appreciate that. Questions for the State Patrol? Senator Miller.
So, Mr. Chair, they would not be interested in being involved in the program. That is,
that's what I heard.
What I get
yeah.
out of it.
I think
that
no. All right. Thank you. All right. Anything further, members? Senator Schmidt.
And Mr. Chair, if I could just add, I think we've seen some similarities between these two bills and some differences, and I think you know, what's becoming clear is some of these issues may muddy the water and make the conversation a little bit more difficult to have. I think the issue that's related to the State Patrol involvement clearly highlights some difficulty with that. What I'd like to just do is reorient folks to really the value of these programs. And for a lot of drivers and a lot of local law enforcement agencies, this is really the only opportunity after high school driver's education for drivers with minor offenses to be updated on the law, to have an opportunity for additional educational engagement. And I've heard testimony after testimony, not only from the folks who've been here today who are in law enforcement, but from folks who've actually participated in these programs and say they are valuable, they were incredibly educational and served a great public benefit. And that is my interest in these programs, is authorizing them under law and giving them a clear path forward for our cities and our counties, local law enforcement, to put in place programs that meet basic standards in education, that are legitimate, address a number of the concerns that have been raised today, and do have continuity from one part of the state to the next. And that's what this bill before you here, 2275, aims to do, is to provide a clear path forward and address a number of the concerns that we've discussed in class, not in class, I teach for a side job, that we've discussed here tonight, and also get at some of the issues that were raised by the state auditor's report. And so I know we're not perfect yet, and I really am committed to working with stakeholders in Center Westrum after this stop in addressing some of these ongoing concerns. But I am convinced that moving forward here, we'll have a great stories to share, data to share with you, that these programs are impactful and they're improving traffic safety throughout Minnesota. And I know that I can just speak to the stories I've heard in southeastern Minnesota.
All right. Thank you. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Schmidt, I'm going to have to disagree with you just a little bit. There is another chance of having some schooling after high school or after you have your initial driver's training, and that's a 55 Alive. And because I've been through that three times, I do agree with you that having that kind of curriculum to go through to renew your sensitivity to new law, to reminding you of the things that you may have forgotten is very valuable. And, in fact, I would encourage anyone who has not gone through it to be sure to go through it. It's very valuable to update yourself on a new law.
And, Mr. Chair and Senator,
Senator Schmidt,
this is an opportunity for folks to have that additional educational exposure before 55. And congratulations for hitting that number three times. So,
okay, Senator Carlson, I got to ask.
You might have just lost
three times.
Who's the bigger scoff law?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, it's only 55 Alive, not a diversion program.
Yeah, but why three times?
I age fast.
Okay.
But Mr. Chairman,
Senator Thompson.
The truth of the matter is the only reason we do that 55 Alive program is because we get a 10% reduction on our insurance. So that's the only reason we do it.
So do you have a 30% reduction on your insurance? I will also mention, in case members are unaware, we do have driver improvement clinics that judges can send folks to if they see fit. With that, members, anything further?
Mr. Chair.
Senator
Miller.
Just to
be clear, we'll see this again in the finance division?
Yeah. Well, certainly if we haven't repaired, I'm kind of foreshadowing my opinion of this subject, at least in the finance piece, We need to understand. I mean, I actually have no idea what orders of magnitude we're talking about, and we don't have the fiscal note yet, so none of us really does. But the piece that brings us back to this finance division is the Trunk Highway Fund element out of the fines. I know that Senator Latz and the courts piece as well will be interested in the implications for his budget, because we'll have to account for significant shortfalls if those were to occur, depending on how the fiscal note comes out. All right. So I'll first take a motion on Senate File 2179, the Westrom bill. Someone would need to make a motion for it to pass and refer to state and local government. Was it amended? No. Okay. All right. Do I have a motion? Oh, Senator Westrom can move his own bill. That's right.
Mr. Chair, I'll make that motion.
All right. All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries. Okay, a motion. Who would like to move Senate File 2275 as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to state and local? Senator Kent.
So moved.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Motion passes. Thank you, Senator Schmidt and Senator Westrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for putting up with me running around today. So thank you.
Did we do that one already?
All right.
Oh, with that, members, we are adjourned.